Mosiah chapter 29. This chapter we're going to speak a lot about government, but the government according to God is extremely simple, and the problem is that today we've made our government so gigantic and so complex that we don't believe it, that government is supposed to be simple as Mosiah presents here, and so therefore we immediately throw it away and don't pay attention to what's being said here. Well, the chapter begins first by Mosiah asking the people concerning who should be their king, and they say they want it to be Aaron, his son, but Aaron has declined. And in verse 6, we find out, though, that the kingdom rightfully belongs to Aaron. And so this establishes that I guess we can say normally that the kingdom is passed on from father to son, and in most cases that's even how the church is passed on, and that is the way the Lord normally does it. But that is not to say that is the requirement either. Again, the Lord is in charge, and He can do whatever He desires, and He will tell them to do it. And because notice also that the church was passed on to Alma; that wasn't passed on to Mosiah's son. But so we do it according to the Lord, but we're just setting up that normally it makes good sense that it's passed on from father to son, because that's the way the Lord can best prepare it. Well, he goes on to say that if we go and give the kingdom to someone else other than Aaron, then this could cause a great contention. In fact, this could cause a great temptation unto Aaron. And then, in fact, this temptation could cause Aaron to then sin, and that we have no right to tempt Aaron and even to maybe cause him to be destroyed, and so therefore we should not even do that. And so therefore he suggests in verse 11 that they go to a judge system. Now the important thing here, and it's going to be repeated in this chapter, is that we note that the law has already been established, so there was no need to have any more lawmakers. And besides that, if there are any to have any laws, he explains how to do that. But the important thing is that the idea isn't that we just keep making law after law after law. The law is supposed to be simple and clear so that every person knows the complete law, and therefore it's a simple government and everyone can understand and know what's going on. Today we have so many laws that are coming out, and the books for everything is so gigantic, no one can understand, and therefore the people really are in the dark as to their government and what is going on. Well, he says in verse 11 that the judges will judge this people according to the commandments of God. Again, that this is to be done by the Spirit, meaning that the judgment, again, as it says, that men are to be judged by God. So therefore, we're saying, it's saying here that the judges that are judged by the Spirit are according to what God says. And that's how we're to set up our judicial system or our judgment system, is that men have to be chosen of God so that it's God doing the direct judgment. And again, obviously, we don't have that in effect today. And how can we possibly then think that we're going to be a righteous nation when we reject the government system set up by God? So first, we have now set up the judicial system, which is the major portion of all government, just to judge the crime, because, again, all the laws had already been established. Now, he does say in verse 13 that if you had just kings all the time, then it would be good to have kings. But he says, what is a just king? A just king is those who only get their laws from God. Now, that is an important thing, because he says that is the determination of just. Well, notice that the church today supports the laws of man. So therefore, the church is a supporter of man and has, in this respect, rejected God and is in support of the rejection of God in our government. And what happens when that happens? He then says that great iniquity and terrible things come upon the people. So now we get to the point, and it's not just a loose point, it's a strong point, that the church is therefore in complete support of the iniquity of our government and our land. But notice also he says, even if you had just kings, it was only expedient. He did not say this is the will of the Lord or this is the way it should be. The will of the Lord is that each man go to God directly and have their eye single on him. And if they do that, then all the laws and the problems go away, and that is the government of God. In fact, if we had many of the men would do that, then God would be their protector and would take care of them and provide for them and progress them. But more than important government-wise, God would be their protector. Gush about that, but that's not the great point to be made here. It then says that men are not just. In verse 16, and that's just the fact, and that whether it's from conniving or just from father to son and the wrong son going in or whatever reason, you will end up with an evil king, and so therefore it is not expedient to have kings, and that they are to be very thankful that they have now had three kings in a row, meaning Mosiah, Benjamin, and Uzziah that were great. In fact, we can probably trace this back to Nephi, but of not having any tremendously evil ones, but they're to be thankful they had three tremendously righteous ones in a row that did the work of God and established their government according to God and established their laws according to God. And it says that evil kings cause a great iniquity to come among the people. And he says when they do that. Now this is not just evil king. We'll just say it's an evil government. And we've got to apply this to ourselves. And it said that that when this happens, that God can deliver the people who are repentant, and he can do them. But if you want to actually dethrone that king, because you want to maintain that land, then it's only going to come with great bloodshed, because they have their friends that support them in government, and they surround themselves by those that support their government. Again, today, we're down to the point where the Mormon church supports the government completely and all its iniquities. And so everywhere, we're in a situation where you can't dethrone the government, you cannot get it back into the state, which the Book of Mormon says, because even the church leaders condemn you. In fact, if you attempt to try and to support the Constitution of the United States, you will be attacked clearly by the Mormon Church, to the point of even being excommunicated for doing that in call, because if you support the Constitution, you're said to be in rebellion against the, if you support it and live it, then you stand a strong chance, which has been the case, of being excommunicated for being in rebellion against the church leaders. And I will testify to you that you will receive, those that aren't aware of that, you will receive the persecution of church leaders for doing that. Now, the thing is that it then says in 23, what happens then to these iniquitous governments is they make their own laws. Now, again, what was established here? The laws that were established were the laws of God that were passed down through the prophets. Do we have any laws like that today? Yes, we have the Constitution of the United States. That was given to us by God. Well, what does evil governments and evil kings do? This is talking to us again. This book is to us. It's telling us about our time. And it's telling us how we became so iniquitous as a country. It's because we started to make our own laws, meaning the Constitution wasn't a good enough law for us. We needed more laws of man, and so we did just like it's saying here, that we make laws. And then it says if you don't obey those laws, which again here, when you have iniquitous laws, if you don't obey, then they send the armies and the police. Well, today we say, well, of course, you're a lawbreaker, you're a criminal, but people don't study what these laws are. Well, here, they're making it clear that if it's an iniquitous law, you're not expected to obey it. And if you begin to understand the taxing laws and the things that have gone on this country for oppression, that you have an obligation to stand up against this. And it's not against the law to stand up for these righteous principles, as shown here. But here it says if you do that in iniquity, in an iniquitous country, then the police or the armies will come to oppress you and say that you're in rebellion, which is exactly what goes on today. And I feel impressed to explain that. And you'd say, well, what iniquitous laws are in our country? You don't have any. Well, I'm going to tell you one. What did it say here to establish equality in the land? How did you establish it? You established it so that each man working for his own support. Can we do that today? The answer is no, it is against the law. And you'll say, well, how? And the answer to that again is, if I desire to work for my own support, if I build my house and I have my land, if I therefore make my own homestead and become self-sufficient and only work with my own hands, it is against the law, because I am required to go out into Babylon and earn the money of Babylon to pay a tax for the right to be on that land, which means that I do not have the right to just work for my own support and have my own place in this country without going out into being forced into the world, into the iniquitous world, doing it their way to receive their money. So again, I say it is against the law. It follows the chain. It is against the law to even have to just exist by the work of your own hands on your own property. Now, whether someone thinks that's a stretch of it or not, that is too bad, because again, the Constitution of the United States is the law given by God, and it is not supported in this country, but it does support the right for you to have your own land and have that between you and God, and that you could work on that, do as you please, and support yourself on that land without ever being oppressed, talked to, or hassled by anybody else in the world. And that is the fact is, it's not just the property tax, it's every other infringements, whether you owe income tax or not, someone is in there to check on that. You're going to be infringed. You are not allowed to just have your own land and work by it with your and support yourself with your own hands on that land. That is against the law. And if you don't understand that, then you are blind and you have not studied the Constitution and the laws that were given by God, and the explanation is given here in the Book of Mormon, believing that this Book of Mormon and this section is written for us today, not written just to talk about something that happened a long time ago with no reference to us today. So then, therefore he goes on to say that therefore you need to choose judges, and again that the laws are from the Father, and this is verse 25, come from their fathers or the prophets that came by the hand of the Lord. And I repeat, so what law came by the hand of the Lord for us today? The Constitution of the United States. And so therefore, as we do not believe this, we do not support the Constitution, instead we support all the laws of man, and would rather have them, the same iniquity that's here, you can expect great bloodshed will be the result that will cover the United States. And by the way, that has been prophesied by prophet after prophet in the past, and we can therefore expect it with a surety. It then says in verse 26, to do the business by the voice of the people. Well, again, I'll tell you that the Constitution was set up in a manner that you really got the voice of the people in changing or creating any laws. And that way that any change that came on would fell upon the people's head. Well, that's been completely changed. Change after change has made it so that it's just a select few that go in there that really don't represent the people and make the laws according to the pressures of other things and other considerations. And mostly to do with their own prides and glories, and makes it and I guess due to our own lackadaisicalness, we do not even within the freedom realm that we've given, we do not choose righteous men, meaning that we don't believe that we're supposed to. The criteria of being a God-fearing man and believing in personal revelation and following God is not a criteria for the men we choose. But nonetheless, here it says that we're to choose it by the people. Again, even when we create a law, we could say that this implies in our country that all laws are supposed to be established by a referendum to the people so that people can understand the law. Notice this also means that our laws are not supposed to be so gigantic and so profuse that there is no way for the people to understand all of them. And that is a great sign of iniquity, as Satan wants to make things so complex that then he can keep you in darkness. But nonetheless, because we did have the framework and we have chosen to reject it, we can expect that the judgments of the Lord will come on us. As it says in verse 27, if the people choose iniquity, then the Lord will send his judgments. And what is iniquity? Iniquity is not, is this law good or bad? Iniquity is when you do not follow the Lord and you do not include the Lord in your laws. And we have rejected the Lord in all things. We are working under a complete system of iniquity in America, and we choose to, and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints chooses to support this system. They do not believe that we should have God in everything. They want Him out of everything, and they support the putting Him in, out of everything, including out of the Church itself. They have completely rejected and apostatized from Jesus Christ. They believe in a government, a business, and a church of men, and they want it to be of men. And that's the structure today. And I repeat that. That is iniquity. And don't think it's for us to judge, well, what does it do for this people or that people or is it good to have abortion or not? We're talking about freedom and about the choice of God and doing it God's way. And we have made the clear choice that we do not believe that we do it God's way, we do it man's way. Well, then it says also to set up a system where you can have your judges judged also. In case you get iniquitous judges in, you'll have a way to remove them, and we don't have that ability today. And then it says, though, and then it gives one big disclaimer in there to make it clear, though. Anything, though, you do in the government must be done in the fear of the Lord. Again, do we even consider the fear of the Lord? Do we believe that? Do the people believe that? Do we believe that we can that we're to do this all the fear of the Lord, meaning that the Lord will have His judgments on us? Well, if the people of the land do not believe in this, then why should the Lord come in and punish the people or punish the leaders or anything if the people don't believe He will or have any faith that He will or have any desire for Him to or believe that this is that God has anything to do with our government? I will testify to you that if you believe that, then the Lord will either take action against the government, or if it is just ones or twos, He will protect you completely from the government and allow you to set up yourself to be completely under His protection and under His reign until He decides to do something to the people or the government in a whole. And I testify to you that the government has, and there isn't a sensible person or in the world that does not know that our government has rejected God, and you can therefore expect the judgments to come upon him and to come upon everyone who condones that system of a government. And it also says then in verse 30 that the sins and iniquities, they shall be answered upon their own heads. Now this is what they're saying, that when you form this kind of a government, then you the proper government, which is the government of God, there's freedom throughout, and so each person has the sins and iniquities on their own head. Meaning we can't point at government and say, government, how come you didn't take care of that? Oh, gee, all these people are being hurt because of this sanitation thing. You know, government, take care of that. And they keep pointing to the government. People are hungry. Take care of that government. And they turn all their responsibility over to the government. But if you see someone that's hungry and you don't take care of them, that sin is upon your head. That is your responsibility. And that's what that's the form of government that the Lord set up, is that the responsibility falls upon each person. And if they commit the sin, they take it. They don't have any right to turn that responsibility to government or to point to government. And that was a government that was set up in America. And just because we have changed it and switched it around, that does not mean that responsibility is off of each person's shoulders. They will be held accountable for that by the Lord. Well, he goes on in verses 31 to 34, and he continues to talk about freedom and equality. And that freedom and equality is results when each person is responsible. Again, ask your mind, how many times say, why doesn't the government do something about this? The church ought to do something about that. We're constantly figuring out, and then we say, well, if that big business would pay the people more. We always turn our responsibility over to someone else instead of taking the responsibility to labor with our own hands and look directly to God for whatever we receive. That is true freedom, and that is true equality. Meaning that equality is when we each go to God and we don't look to anyone else. Even if you don't believe in God, still we say that each man is responsible for himself, and that we don't look to other men or other businesses or governments or churches or anything else and try and shift the responsibility onto them. When we do that, when we take the complete responsibility ourselves, then that is equality, and then you will have freedom. And that's what he is saying in verse 31 through 34. And then he goes on to talk more about the iniquity that comes from these evil kings or the evil governments like the United States and all the countries of the world have today. Well, it says that in verse 38, then the people agree that they will have no king and that they want to have equality. And they repeat again that every man will answer for his own sins. Every man will take upon himself the responsibility. He does not put the responsibility on a king or a responsibility on government. And so then they go about in verses 39 through 42 to elect judges. They elect Alma the Younger, the chief judge, and his father also passes on to him the office of being the head of the church. And we now note, though, that, see, they wanted righteous judges, so it made perfect sense to them that the head of the church would also be the chief judge, because they wanted their judges to receive their judgments from God. And in verses 43 to the end of the chapter, we then see that Alma and Mosiah dies. We're ready.